flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's 5 o'clock, or relatively close.
I was wondering what would break first, your spirit or your body?
This is a Super Week edition of Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
Injured? Don't trust just anyone to something so personal. Call George McCoy at Warren Allen, online at warrenallen.com.
Primetime with Isaac and Sue on 1080. The Fan.
All right. Welcome back. Hope you're having a nice little Tuesday. It is your Sports Bros in the flesh. Yeah. That's right. We're right here.
We've covered a lot today.
It's me, Rop, and Big Sook's right over there.
With our research department, a.k.a. me. I have come up with a definitive answer on Jim Nance. And in a shocking development, I can confirm Jim Nance, not a racist.
Not racist.
Not racist. Now,
wait. How did you determine that when your initial findings were nil?
So I found two other.
Ooh, more Thai recipients?
As far as I can tell, there is only two other confirmed Thai recipients of the Jim Nance Final Four
Thai. So only three.
And he has said now that he does not want to talk about it because he doesn't want the kids to have to answer questions about it. He felt embarrassed when it became public.
Yeah, he wanted to do it. I do have to give him credit for just doing that on the side and not trying to.
He was made fun of very.
But he didn't bring it into the broadcast and tell everybody about it.
Exactly.
People found out organically, I think. It wasn't something that's that right. He was promoting all along.
That's right. It was just his bit and he was doing it on the side. And that's fine.
So it started with, and the very first one, it started with Corey Brewer.
Okay.
Those Florida teams.
He's definitely black.
He's definitely black. And who was not a senior. It turned into a senior thing. He said that Corey Brewer's dad was having health problems and couldn't come to the Final Four. And so on the broadcast, Jim Nance had mentioned that. He said after the game, Corey Brewer came up to him and said, "Hey, did you mention my father on the broadcast?" And Jim Nance was like, "Yes, I did." And Corey Brewer goes, "Thank you so much. That was really sweet. My family, it meant a lot to me." And he said at that moment, he was inspired. He just took off his tie and gave it to Corey Brewer.
Here, kid, take my tie.
Yeah. And so that's how.
That is so weird.
It is beyond bizarre. And Corey Brewer said he didn't really think anything of it, but he said it was, you know, he it's kind like, of appreciated the gesture, but
thanks,
bro. Whatever. So that's how it started.
Wow.
Yeah. Corey Brewer's like, "Hey, did you mention my dad?" Jim Nance is like, "Yes, I did. Here's my tie." And then the only other one, dude, I must have looked at like probably 70 different links because there's a million of these stories. And the only ones I could find was the Villanova kid, which is the confirmed one.
Okay.
And then Corey
Brewer. He's white.
He's white.
Who's the tiebreaker?
And then the other one was Duke's Quinn Cook.
Black.
Black.
Okay. He is black.
Okay.
When
okay,
I saw
black.
Duke.
So there we go. Not racist.
No, when I saw Duke, I was like,
And
no.
Quinn Cook is an awfully white name.
Yes. Quinn Cook from Duke. I'm like, that's a white. No. No. So
play for the Warriors. Point guard.
We have three confirmed tie recipients and only one of them white. Therefore, we have concluded scientific double-blind study. Jim Nance, not racist.
Black, guys. Thank you.
We think.
Glad we got to the bottom of that.
Well, I think
people needed that.
We needed to know.
And we need to let Jim off the hook if it wasn't true.
Exactly. Look, I just thought the reason why he wasn't talking about that was that they were going to have a common link.
Dude, I love that he is a broadcaster.
Yes.
And he thought so much of himself.
Yes.
That he took off his tie and handed it to Corey Brewer as if Corey Brewer would think that. What are you, freaking Mean Joe Green?
Well, and Brewer's already just thanking him. You could just say, you're welcome. Like, here's this token of my you're welcome.
No, no,
what?
This is so important to me. I think you're going to want this.
Let's make sure we're bonded forever by my necktie.
It's my tie. God, man.
Well, that's
can you imagine being married to him? How far up your ass is your head?
That's how the whole thing started. Corey Brewer got. I'm gonna start doing that. I'm just trying. Well, you don't own ties.
I have two, but I never wear them.
Yeah,
it's not gonna be a tie.
A pocket square.
Do you want one story about being married to Jim Nance?
Yes. Well, sure.
His wife, when they go out to breakfast, she keeps a laminated card in her wallet about you guys know about this, the burnt toast?
Yeah.
He orders burnt toast with his breakfast and it always gets sent back because it's not burnt enough. So now when he asks for it so that they don't have to do the double take, his wife pulls out a laminated card and says it looks like this.
Wow.
That's what Jim
Nance
is there.
That is true. I've always thought that
he's confirmed that.
In those stories, I've done a lot of Jim Nance research over the last like 45 minutes, and it does say in there that Jim Nance is kind of an eccentric guy, and they do point to the burnt toast thing. Wow. That is a thing. And it's not just his wife. Jim carries one too.
Oh, he does?
Yes.
Oh, they both have on there.
They both have a laminated photo of burnt toast that they do
hand
to. Or
maybe then it was his wife that said, you just need to start carrying this because I'm tired of doing this twice every time we go to breakfast.
She's as bad as he is.
Yeah, that's Jim Nance. Ugh. I'm just trying to think of what I would do. Like, you put 20-year-old me, like I finished a college football game, and Jim Nance comes up to me after a bowl game or whatever is like, young man, here's my tie.
You tie it on the side of your head and pound a couple beers.
Oh, it just kind of feels like a, how about a Fresca? I guess you just say thanks. I mean, you're not probably rude about it. I just would be like, what the hell am I supposed to do with a Jim Nance tie?
Put it in your trophy room?
Yeah, the one kid from Villanova did say that he does have it with his other Final Four, you know.
I mean, I guess you got to keep it, but.
Oh.
Do you?
Does that go for something on eBay? Is a Jim Nance tie? Is that worth something? He says he's handed out hundreds of them. He gives them to like kids and students and autograph seekers.
He does.
Yeah, he hands out ties.
I'm going to go ask him for a tie.
If you're at CIM at the Masters, you know. Hey, Jim, can I get a tie?
He could be in Portland broadcasting the NCAA term or something.
Something. Get a tie, man.
I'm going to go down there. Hey, Jim. One for the kids?
It's now sponsored. What's the little company with the whale, the vineyards? It's got the little pink whale. You know what I'm talking about?
I do know the one you're talking about. It's like...
It's something. It's Vineyards Vines or something.
It's Vineyard Vines? I think that might be right.
So Jim's ties are now sponsored. He has his own Jim Nance ties that he gives out.
Fantastic. All right. Coming up, how pissed is Michael Jordan today? We'll get into our Super Bowl num-num. And in the club tonight... we want to drink less, but not completely.
I want to drink less?
That's the trend.
I don't like that.
So that is coming up right now, the Hot 5 at 5:13.
Oh! Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, golly, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 with Isaac and Sue. Brought to you on The Fan by Victorico's Mexican Food. Discover Victorico's new savory menu items. Order in-store, online, or get it delivered straight to your door at victorico's.com.
Number five.
Number five.
NBA trade deadline is Thursday. Mavs made another move today. Not quite as large as the one the other day, but...
I would say so.
They swap role guys with Philadelphia. Quentin Grimes, former Jayhawk.
Rock Chalk.
Now a Sixer, Caleb Martin to Dallas.
Yeah, the report today was that the Blazers, who are apparently shopping a couple of the vets, Robert Williams could be had, but they want a first-round pick for him. Whether or not anyone will bite on that, we don't know. So one would think that the Blazers make some moves at the deadline here, especially for some of the vets, but with the way they're playing, hottest team in the NBA.
Championship run.
Yeah,
clearly. Yeah, you got to hold on to them because... Hey.
Four games out of the play-in. Well, cool. The 10th spot.
So they're not even in the play-in.
No, I believe they're still eight games.
But you owe it to yourself to find out what you can be.
Do you?
No, it's stupid. They should be tanking.
Thank you.
By the way, that was my favorite part of the show so far.
No. Stupid.
Number four.
Chiefs coach Andy Reid says he'll coach at least one more season. This means he'll be back in 2025.
Travis Kelce also saying that he believes that he's got like three more years left in the tank.
He was asked.
Three?
Well, he said he was asked where he. Oh my God, I'm doing great. was asked where he would like to be in 3 years, and he said, "Hopefully, still playing."
Not a chance.
He says that he's got a lot of football left, and I don't know what his contract situation is, but. That's like the Cooper Kupp thing. Cooper Kupp goes, I always believed that he would begin and end in L.A. And L.A. was like,
no. Shut up, Kupp. Cut your beard.
I think this is it. I think his... it's always weird because if this is the 2025 season, because it's like 2024-25.
No, this is not. This is 2024-25.
Then I believe Kelce has one more year left on his deal, and then he's an unrestricted free agent. He will be 37. So, Travis, you got one more, and then chances are, bud, it's time to tip the cap.
Don't you think it'd be hard to hang it up when you're playing with Patrick Mahomes?
Yes, especially if you keep winning Super Bowl.
Yeah, you won three in a row.
If you win three in a row, the idea is, can you just go out on top like John Elway, or God, the illusion of like, can you come back for four? I think, and you got another year left, it'd be hard to say.
And the fact they're sitting on that $100 million podcast makes it a lot easier to walk away, I would think.
I don't think money's an issue for him.
Clearly not. But so he doesn't have to keep coming back for that. You don't just want to call it?
Coming back for the juice, man.
The mother of the great Tiger Woods, Coltita, has passed away.
Yeah.
She was 80.
Called her the lion and the driving force in his life.
Yeah, he called her a force of nature and said that in a social media statement, he said none of his achievements would have been possible without her.
I still remember when they forced him to do that freaking press conference with her in the front row where he talked about how he loved the Stoop Perkins witnesses. One of the most awkward moments in sports history.
Yeah, her having to be present for the talk about sex addiction is really something.
Jeez Louise.
By the way, it's TGL Tuesday.
Get your bets in.
It's too late. I think it already started.
No, it's 6 o'clock.
Live bet.
Oh, 6 o'clock.
Number two.
Oh, you can also live bet it.
Just so you know, we're on LA tonight.
That's the play.
That's our play. According to On Three, Oregon's Will Stein is a top candidate for the vacant offensive coordinator position at Ohio State. Joe Moorhead, now Akron's head coach, current Buckeyes wide receivers coach Brian Hartline, and Miami OC Shannon Dawson were also named.
Because Chip is now making $6 million in the NFL. I would assume that Oregon can come up with enough cash to keep Will Stein in-house. Be a bit of a blow if you lost him to Ohio State.
Yeah, if you're Stein, do you view Ohio State as an upgrade over Oregon? Or are you happy where you are?
Well, I mean, I don't know. It's clearly a better job. I mean, no offense to Oregon, which
marginally, you've already got something rolling here.
Yeah, I would think that continuity keeps you around, but who knows? My guess is money talks and you know what walks.
Perhaps a good move for Jed Fish in Washington to part ways with Texas transfer wide receiver Jonte Cook.
Yes.
He was arrested for theft and interference of public duties in Fort Worth.
Yeah, I saw that.
So he remains in the transfer portal. I thought, we had vacations and we were off. I thought Cook was going to Oregon. And then I read he went to Washington, and then he and Jed Fish talked, and Fish was like, yeah, you're not coming.
Yeah, he was in Washington, and they did a little photo shoot with him and everything. He was in the uniform, and then they said that, like, they had agreed to, like, part ways.
Well, he was one of those kids that bailed early in the season when they still to make sure they didn't burn their eligibility, and so he was sitting around waiting for a couple months, and people linked him to Oregon because he was down to Oregon and Texas initially, and then when the season was over and you're finally able to commit somewhere again, that's when he picked Utah.
I think the word is out. This kid may be a bit of a jackass.
We just got arrested. Yeah. A no rest for the red hot. I believe is the saying.
Red hot and rolling.
Blazers winners of 8 of 9. They host Indiana tonight. The Pacers are on a back-to-back as well after a thrilling one-point win in Utah last night. Now, I threw thrilling in there blindly. I don't know if it was thrilling, but I mean, it was a one-point game. I am assuming that it was thrilling.
Well, this would be, we talked about this win streak that they're on, and there's really only one real quality win, and that was the beatdown of Milwaukee. Everything else has been kind of crap teams. Indiana actually would be their best win of this run. Indiana has a better record. They're the 4 seed in the East. So this is actually kind of a nice little test of where you're at here with a step up in competition.
Hot 5 and 5 brought to you by Victor Rico's Mexican Food. A hit with the whole family. Order in-store, online, or delivered to your door at victorricos.com. When you think of flavor, think of Victor Rico's. It is not too early because we don't have a show tomorrow due to Ducks basketball.
No, we do not.
We need to get into the Super Bowl.
Let's do it.
Super Bowl Num Num next on The Fan. All right, welcome back to our radio program. It is a radio program.
He's just getting
one of those Milwaukee butter hugs. Whoa.
We are on those
of fires there. Yeah. We're hot. We're on. It is time for Super Bowl Num Num because it is time to talk about the Super Bowl.
Num 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 Num.
I feel like in sports radio, we have to ignore the Super Bowl for a week and a half so as not to be redundant.
Then we can dig into it.
And then we can dig into it. So now it feels about time to dig into it because we don't have a show tomorrow.
No.
And then Thursday and Friday, we'll probably do a lot of it.
And then the super big game, and we recap it on Monday. And
That's always one of my favorite shows in in the sports radio year.
There's just so much to get
The Monday into. After the Super Bowl is one of the best shows to do. It's so fun.
Yeah.
But yeah. Who's playing?
I believe it's that team from, believe it's that bird team and then the Native Americans.
Let me start with this. You said this the other day, and I couldn't agree more. This is a great game and a great matchup, and shut up if you don't like it.
Yeah, I mean, I get
it's
it.
It's good.
We all hate Philadelphia. People are tired of the Chiefs.
I don't hate Philadelphia, and I don't hate the Chiefs.
Well, I think people hate the city of Philadelphia. I think people hate Philadelphia fans. I think people hate Nick Sirianni.
Well, then there's your villain.
But the bottom line is, but you can't because Kansas City's the villain. I also love I love that Kansas City, by the way, is just finding out that they're indeed a villain.
Yeah.
People are like, what, people hate us? Yeah, dude, people hate you. But
don't you think it's kind of been fast? Like, it's only been this year that I feel like people have started to say that, and it came quick.
It did. Well, but that's Steph Curry and the Warriors, right? Like, it comes at you fast. That's a Batman thing. Speaking of the Jordan Mailata, like, you either die or you live long enough to become the villain. And Kansas City didn't die, and now they're the villain.
I don't remember the Warriors being so abrupt. I do remember, obviously, they win a lot, and they win a bunch, and then eventually you're like, okay, I'm kind of tired of them. I never got tired of them because I think
they went from a 6 seed to title winners the next year. I'm pretty sure.
Well, what does that have to do with people hating them?
Well, you said you don't remember being abrupt. I mean, they went from barely making the playoffs and getting in. And
again, thank you for paying attention. We're talking about people hating the champions.
Yeah.
Right? Like when it becomes that they're the villain, the Patriots are weird because the Patriots won 3 Super Bowls and then had a long break where they didn't win and then they won 3 more.
They're in the middle of
this. So they're weird.
Yeah.
But the whole time they were pretty good. Mm-hmm. So we hated it was just a long, slow burn with the Patriots and they were never that exciting to watch.
Yeah, this is
And so been, it was like, ah, I hate
this. This has been quick.
Kansas City, I feel like last year, oh, it's great. Patrick Mahomes is great. This year, oh, I hate them. They're the worst refs. They just win because of the I mean, what the hell?
Yeah.
It's so weird.
It is weird. But
let me just say, I think this is a great matchup and I would like to frame it in this way.
Talk to me, Goose.
We often hear talk about coach quarterback, right? We talk about all the great dynasties have the great coach and the great quarterback Almost always, right?
Yep.
Name one that didn't have that.
You really don't have. I mean, for a dynasty, you can win a Super Bowl without that. Yeah. But to be a dynasty, you always have the combo.
Exactly.
You just do.
And that's what we have with the Chiefs, with Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes.
Yes.
And I think it's very interesting that the Eagles are sort of the opposite of that. Now, I'm not saying that Jalen Hurts sucks. I'm not.
But he's not elite.
He's not, and neither is Nick Sirianni.
No.
And isn't that fascinating?
Yes.
And also, if we want to drag, and it kind of comes back to Howie Roseman, if we want to drag their last Super Bowl champion into it, they had Doug Peterson and Nick Foles
as
their coach-quarterback combo, and they won.
It really is the outlier.
It's amazing. And I think it points to Howie Roseman, because their roster is so filthy good.
It's the best in football.
It is not about coach quarterback. And I think in this world of coach quarterback, Mahomes read, you know, it's always about that.
Yeah.
I think it's refreshing to see Philly here. And we ask the question, can a GM win a Super Bowl without a great coach and without a superstar quarterback?
We're about to find out.
Well, Philly already did it once.
Yes, that's true. They did it once. But, you know, they had Wentz, and then Wentz got hurt. And, yeah, they were able to piece it together with Foles during the final weeks.
But come on, how many teams? You have to be built really well to win a quarterback with Nick, or to win a Super Bowl with Nick Foles.
Yeah, we talk about it all the time. There's two ways to win in the NFL, and that is you have a quarterback that covers up all the holes in your roster because you pay him a bunch of money, or you have a roster that builds up your quarterback. Philly is unique in that they have a quarterback that has holes, but he still makes giant amounts of money. And the roster is so good, and they've done such a nice job of drafting. And they've done such a nice job in free agency and trades that they're still able to cover up the holes of the expensive quarterback that can't carry a team.
They're really amazing.
It really is. That's why I said going into this game, outside of Mahomes, which is a massive advantage. I saw Stephen A. was talking with, it might have been Orlovsky today, and I thought Dan had a nice pushback. And he said, dude, regardless of what happens in this game, there is going to be the narrative that if Jalen Hurts wins, that Jalen Hurts is an elite quarterback. And it's just not true. Jalen Hurts is not elite. He's not an elite thrower of the football. He's not an elite guy when it comes to reading defense. He's not an elite runner. He is a good, solid quarterback. He is a top 10 to 15 quarterback in the league. He's just solid. But he is in no way elite. And yet, if he wins this Super Bowl and they slay the dragon, we are going to try to elevate him. And Orlovsky was like, stop it. Okay? He is not anywhere near those top guys. He is not Justin Herbert. He's not even in that second class, right? You could say he's in the back half of that second class. But their roster is so good. And that's the fascinating part is, outside of the quarterback position, I do not believe that there is a single position group from Kansas City that you would take over Philadelphia. You wouldn't take their running backs. You wouldn't take their receivers. You wouldn't take their offensive line. You wouldn't take their the tight end. I don't even know if you take their tight end with as old as Kelce is.
Goddard's probably better at this
point. You wouldn't take their defensive line. Now, Chris Jones is elite, but the entire Philly D-line is better, including Jalen Carter, which might be the best defensive tackle, including Chris Jones right now in football. You wouldn't take their linebacker. Zach Bond is a defensive player of the year. That group is probably pretty similar, but Philly's is better, and they both have good secondaries. But there isn't a single position group that you would take. And yet going into this, we all kind of feel like Kansas City will win this game. We've seen it before because of Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes and the fact that in one possession games, the last 17, including the playoffs, the Kansas City Chiefs are 7-0, and we watch them erase a 10-point second-half deficit to these Philadelphia Eagles in the Super Bowl. We watched them come back against the San Francisco 49ers. And there's just something about that combo that makes you think that they will overcome. But on paper, Philly, it should be a significant favorite in this game, minus the quarterback position.
But they're not.
They're not.
And that is trust in Kansas City. You know, they get in these games and they win. They confuse quarterbacks. You know, that's the thing. I mean, if they're going to win this game, they're going to have to confuse Jalen Hurts.
Yes.
Because they're
and they can.
Philly's offensive line, I just read today that is the biggest offensive line in terms of heaviest and tallest in Super Bowl history.
And they're just damn good. Now, the question becomes are they all healthy?
Yeah, exactly. But the Eagles' offensive line is 6'6", 338.
Good Lord.
That is on average.
Yikes.
Do you care to guess Art Shell, one of the great offensive linemen?
Yeah.
Remember him? Famer. Big dude, Raiders coach?
Yep.
Do you care to guess what he measured up at when he played?
I'm guessing Art was probably 6'4", probably 270.
So these Eagles offensive linemen, on average, 6'6", 338.
Yeah.
Art Shell, 6'5", 265.
265.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Wall Street Journal has a great piece, if you've got a subscription, where they put these guys, like Mulata was one, and then who's the other? Becton?
Yeah, the Mekhi Becton.
The biggest guy. They're the two biggest ones.
Yeah.
They put their silhouettes next to, like, Steph Curry. who's the little gymnast?
Simone Biles.
Like, they're unbelievable.
Yeah.
So the offensive line should win the game for Philly. That's why they're here.
Yes.
They're 15-1 since their bye week. They're Saquon Barkley, and that's another thing about Howie Roseman. Give that guy some credit.
Yep.
He signed Saquon Barkley when nobody wanted running backs.
Yep.
And he, I mean,
he put together arguably the greatest running back season of all time. Had they let him play, he would have broken the rushing record.
A lot of that's the offensive line.
Yes.
In this same article, they were saying that Barkley's getting 3.8 yards before contact.
That's silly.
That's crazy. That's the best in the NFL since 2016. Mm-hmm. This is no shot at Saquon Barkley. He is shifty. He is good. But you give any running back 3.8 yards before contact on average, they're going to have that kind of season.
Yeah.
So what that means is he doesn't get touched for almost four yards. And then, of course, he's very shifty. So you can see why they're so hard to stop. Where the Chiefs are going to have to win because that offensive line is one of the best we've ever seen. You're right. We have to talk about, we can do this another time. We'll do it later in the week, maybe. But Cam Jurgens has been hurt.
Yep.
And Landon Dickerson is hurt. But it sounds like they're both going to play. It's just a matter of how effective they'll be. At any rate, you're not beating that. Kansas City, and I know people will be like, well, Chris Jones and the Kansas City. Dude, this Philly offensive line, that is the unit.
Yeah.
But what Kansas City always does is they confuse the damn quarterback.
Yep.
And it happens every time. I was reading that Josh Allen turned the ball over. So they, you know, as you know, they call them turnover worthy plays.
Mm-hmm.
It's where you don't actually turn it over sometimes, but you put the ball
in harm
where it could be turned over.
Or you fumble the ball and you get it back. Yeah. Allen had a couple of those.
Because if you get super lucky, it doesn't mean you aren't about to turn it over a bunch.
Yeah.
If you put the ball in harm's way, Josh Allen in 10 weeks leading up to the Kansas City game, the playoff game, he had two turnover-worthy plays. Think about that. He put the ball in jeopardy.
It's ridiculous.
In 10 weeks, think about all the plays, twice.
Hmm.
You know how many times he did it against Kansas City just last week?
I'm guessing at least two or three times.
There were three.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Hmm.
That's it right there. Jalen Hurts graded out, according to Pro Football Focus, in the first Super Bowl meeting against Kansas City, they graded that as his best game of his career.
Yeah.
And Jalen Hurts.
And that's where he got the big contract. And outside of the fumble, they should have won that game.
Well, they lost.
They lost.
Shoulda, woulda, coulda. They lost. That was the best game of his career, and he lost. Now, fast forward to this year, and yes, the offensive line is just amazing, but Jason Kelsey's not in there.
No.
Jurgens is hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Dickerson's hurt.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And then you got Kansas City, who is looking at Jalen Hurts, probably licking their chops, because I don't know what you think about Jalen Hurts, but that dude has been holding on to the ball right and left.
Yes.
He is not the same Jalen Hurts.
No, he's not.
I don't really know why. Maybe it's his knee. Maybe it's the OC. I don't know, but this is not the same Jalen Hurts that played the best game of his career against Kansas City the first time around. So why on earth do we think Jalen Hurts can beat him this time around?
Well, I think what's happened with Hurts is, as it's gone on, is they were so RPO heavy, and I'm not saying RPOs are dead, but the NFL, like everything else, is adjusted, and teams have adjusted to what Philadelphia is doing, and they no longer just RPO you to death. And Hurts really makes his living just throwing the ball to the outside of the numbers and the go balls, and you have two elite receivers on the outside. Where he struggles is what you said, is when you have changing looks.
Exactly.
And no one changes their looks better than what Kansas City does.
Well, that's the whole thing. That's what Kansas City does.
Yes.
So I am really struggling to find the Chiefs have a real problem with the Philly offensive line and Saquon Barkley. Yep. They do, and they know that.
Yep.
But I have a really hard time getting past how on earth Jalen Hurts, the way he's been looking, and knowing what Kansas City does, how the hell does he beat them? So then you just you key on Barkley.
Yep.
You make sure he doesn't break the long ones. He's probably going to get some. They're going to move the ball. They're going to get into the red zone. But you got to be good on third down. You got to make sure he doesn't break the long ones like he's been doing. And you got to confuse Jalen Hurts. You do that, you're going to get a turnover or two, and you're going to win the game. That's what Kansas City does.
Yeah.
I just don't see anything from Jalen Hurts that leads me to think that he'll be so extraordinary like he was the last game, which, by the way, they didn't even win.
No. The only thing I'll say if you're a Philly fan is Jalen Hurts, the game he played against the Commanders, and I get it, the Commanders' defense is not the Kansas City defense, especially with the looks that Spags can throw at you. That's the best that Jalen Hurts has looked all year. And I said it, if Jalen Hurts plays the game he did against Washington, they can beat Kansas City.
But he won't.
That's a big if. I know.
He won't. That's two different defenses.
The other one, too, is that if you are Philadelphia, you are going to come into this and the game plan is simply run.
But Casey knows that.
Casey knows it. And so,
again, it goes back to Jalen Hurts.
A lot of teams stack the ball. They're the 28th or 29th passing offense in the league, and yet it's still one of the best offenses in the league simply because of Saquon Barkley.
Look, well, and the offensive line.
And the offensive line, exactly. So this is going to be, I know it's simplistic, I just, if Jalen Hurts plays a good game, I think Philadelphia will win. To your point, do I think Jalen Hurts is going to play a good game against Kansas City? No, I do not. Which is why I think Kansas City will win, despite the fact that I think Philadelphia has top to bottom a superior roster at every position outside of that one.
If he holds on to the ball like he has been,
he's in trouble.
I don't care how good their offensive line is. Chris Jones is going to murder him.
Yeah.
He's going to feast.
Yeah.
And so I mean,
the other one that I hope that Philadelphia does is you got to take the training wheels off, and I would love to see Jalen Hurts get involved in the run game. Like design quarterback runs. Like
non-scramble runs.
Non-scramble stuff. And that's the other one. People think Jalen Hurts is this mobile runaround quarterback. He really is not. Get him involved. Take the, and I understand the knee is banged up, and I understand he's battled injuries. Dude, it is the freaking Super Bowl, and you know they are going to be loading the box against Saquon Barkley. Get Jalen Hurts out on the edge. Get him involved in the run game and try to loosen that up.
All right. Well, we've got numbers coming up on our Super Bowl num-num. You see that? Num-num?
Num-num-num-num.
Numbers.
Oh, yeah.
I've got some numbers that you may want to hear. If you haven't bet it yet, I don't know if you guys have bet it. I don't know.
I
was an instant Kansas City. When I saw it under 3,
yeah.
I was instant Kansas
no
City. No hesitation at all. And even if they don't cover, I still think I placed a good bet.
I tend to agree with
it's
you.
It's just, that's just, this Kansas City less than a field goal is a blind bet for me. I don't care who they're playing.
I want to bet Philly and I can't.
Okay, so I have some numbers and we'll get to some of those. And then we got to talk about Michael Jordan's kid.
Oh, yeah. It's a hell of a night.
Yeah, he scored 36.
And dropped his dad's name.
At the YMCA. That is coming up. But first, Buck. All right, you guys properly ready for the Super Bowl? But TJ, one seggy. Now what are we talking about? Hey, let's talk about Michael Jordan's kid.
Yeah.
I didn't know he played at Central Florida.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
I did.
Did you?
I did. I remember when he went to Central Florida, it was a big deal. I think the Jordan brand, I think they were like a Reebok school, and it was a huge issue. And I believe they switched over to the Jordan brand kind of for that reason that his son went there.
Well, I thought one of them played, he has two kids, right? Or two sons?
He's got two sons. I don't think the other one.
I thought one of them played at Georgia Tech. I thought the other one did, perhaps.
I don't think the other one played much. Okay. I think this one was the better one. I remember he had the goggles.
Yeah. I see a picture of him here.
Yeah.
He did have goggles. He doesn't really look like his daddy.
No, not really.
But his dad's course is out there in Central Florida, isn't it? Or like, is that Southern Florida? The Grove or whatever?
The Grove. I would assume it's...
Remember he made his own course?
I think
the story goes he was at some fancy country club and everybody complained about his music.
So he went and got his
own. So he just made his own. We got a buddy that listens to the show who's played there with him.
Not?
Got one of his Jordan... He's got a Jordan ball marker that you can only get from Jordan, which I think is kind of cool.
That is kind of cool.
Kind of like Jim Nance, although at least Michael Jordan actually is someone like who people, is worthy of flipping something to somebody.
People want that.
But, he'll toss it to you if you
want. Well, and his kid, like, one is kid, I believe, is stupid Scottie Pippen's.
That's old.
Yeah.
They ex-wife. Broke it. That's long.
And he always talks about like making on his own, but he sells like his dad's sneakers. He owns like a shoe store where he sells like hard to get Michael Jordan items. Like, hey, I wonder where you get those.
So Marcus Jordan is his name. He's 34.
Yeah.
And he was charged with DUI, cocaine possession, and resisting arrest Florida.
And by the way, there has been video servicing of him before doing a little toot. You know, apparently that's something that he enjoys.
Was that at the Olympics? I think that was in Paris or something like that.
I want to say there's just been a couple of those where it's leaked where old Marcus likes to have a good old time. So.
Well, whatever. I mean, that's not a crime,
not,
is it?
I'm not here to judge.
Is it a crime to do cocaine?
I believe it is a crime.
Damn it! Why?
Ah, but you know, well, small amounts. Whatever.
Listen, you can't be driving. He was in his Lambo.
Yeah.
And he got stuck on train tracks this morning, early morning of on the train tracks out there.
Why was he?
Well, I guess he was trying to cross the train tracks in his. He was making a wrong turn in his. He tried to back up or something, and you know, train tracks, there's gravel and stuff.
Yeah.
One of his tires sank.
What kind of crappy SUV are you in where you can't navigate train tracks?
Well, again, it was a Lambo.
It was a Lambo.
It was a Lambo SUV, though.
Oh, it was? Yeah. They make an SUV?
They do.
What?
Yeah. Apparently not a very good one.
Who buys that?
What?
Who buys that?
The Jordans.
Marcus Jordan.
Well, that's not a ringing endorsement.
No, it's not. I'm just saying, like, if you're buying, I'm guessing, a $300,000 SUV and it can't handle some train tracks, I guess Lamborghini right now probably isn't loving this.
Do you think Michael had to not play golf today?
He got in 9 at least.
I guarantee he still played.
For sure.
Yeah.
But he's
And
pissed.
By the way, looking at this photo, like, of the how drunk do you have to be to end up in that situation? In that situation. Like, there's one thing, like, it looks like he was trying to drive on the train tracks. Come on.
Well, had a good night.
Also, too, if you're 34 and you're getting, you're about to get arrested, and you drop a, do you know who I am?
Did he do that?
Yeah, he did.
Well, I didn't see that part.
Yeah. First off, he broed the officer. Like, they've got video of the whole thing. And you can't bro the officer. He's not a surf cop. You can't bro him. And second, you can't drop a bro. I'm Marcus Jordan. I'm Michael Jordan's son. I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm just trying to get home. I made a wrong turn. Okay. Yeah.
What did the cop say when he said he was Marcus Jordan, Michael Jordan's son?
He just told him to get out of the car.
At which point he said no, right? Because he was a resistant.
Yeah, he wouldn't get out of the car. He said there was somebody with him too.
Yeah, he had a lady with him.
But they finally.
He said, clearly, we would just like to get our car off of the effing train tracks, which we're not trying to be on in the first place. And then they walked him away from his car. And although I do appreciate in the video, he does tell the cop how much the car costs.
How much does it cost?
$300,000.
God.
Yep.
Are you kidding me?
Well, I just love. So far, we've broed the cop. We've told him, do you know who I am? I'm Michael Jordan's kid. You say, I'm not getting out of the car. I'm just trying to get my car off the effing tracks. Now you're telling the cop how much your car costs. Look, as someone that talked his way into a $300 jaywalking ticket, I can assure you that you're talking your way into a DUI right now. I mean, that might be the worst possible way to try to get out of a traffic stop.
This raises a question. What is the worst luxury car? Like, what's the worst best car?
It used to be the old Range Rovers were an absolute hunk of crap.
That's what I was going to say. I've heard the most about them not being very good for as much as people like them.
Can I ask a dumb question about cars? I'm not a big car guy. What is the difference between a Land Rover and a Range Rover?
The Range Rovers are the nicer ones. Land Rovers are more of the like a Land Rover is like actually meant to go out and. Like, Land Rovers are, like, full-on, big-time SUVs.
Also, I'm reading here that Land Rover is the brand name of the vehicle, while Range Rover is a specific model within the Land Rover lineup.
So they're all Land Rovers.
Yes.
But the Range Rover is a specific type.
The Range Rover is the luxury one that all the rich white women drive.
I've always heard that about Range Rovers.
Well, my buddy, who owned a car dealership for many, many years... would not like when they take a trade in and it was a Range Rover, people would trade him in on really nice trucks. He would just send it to auction. He wanted nothing to do with them. They wouldn't retail them. Wouldn't do. They just like, hey, cool. Here you go. get it out. So I think it's one of those that a lot of rich people like as a status symbol, and I don't think they're very well-built cars.
Do you think that Tesla's on the list?
I've heard those. I mean, as far as I know, I think those are actually considered pretty reliable cars, other than the self-driving ones that crash and blow up.
Some of them aren't that expensive, are they?
No, no. They got fairly affordable ones. Mm-hmm. So I think a lot of the luxury cars, like the Ferraris and stuff, they're not meant to be day-to-day drivers. Like, if you own a Ferrari, you own a Lambo, like, we go down to Barrett-Jackson every year and we see these. Dude, these cars will be like 10 years old and they've got like 3,000 miles on them. Very few people are driving those on a day-to-day basis.
So what instance do you take it out? Show off?
Show off. Or in the case of Jordan here, I don't know, a night out on the town with your lady, a bunch of blow and some railroad tracks.
Feeling bad about yourself, so you're just like, oh, you know what I'm going to do?
Yeah.
You're Jay Leno, I'm going to roll the Lambo out there.
I think Porsches are known as the, like, if you want a really high-end daily driver, I think that's kind of like, people kind of lean towards the Porsche. You get into anything higher than that, those aren't necessarily well-built
I wouldn't
cars.
Feel good about driving a Porsche.
Yeah. So I think Porsche is probably the cutoff, like where I think if you have a Porsche, I don't think people view it like Mercedes, BMW, Porsche. I don't think many people, Audi, like no one really judges that too bad. It's when you get into the Ferrari, Lambo, Rolls Royce, Aston Martin. I think that's where people are like, really? I think that's kind of the...
Well, you got to have... See, here's the way I've always thought about those. You got to have big money to drive those.
Yes.
And if you don't, you're a poser.
Mm-hmm. 100%. So, well, have you seen like the service, like the oil changes on some of those?
Well, I'm just saying, like, I'll never have that kind of money, I don't think.
Yeah.
So it just doesn't fit.
No.
You know, it's like, I don't want to. I don't know. There's just certain brands that you got to be the real deal.
Yes.
If you're dabbling in that.
Yes.
And I think a lot of people aren't the real deal and they dabble in that. And that's pathetic to me.
Well, like, you can go down. Going down to the auto show, you can buy like a $400,000 Rolls Royce Phantom that's a couple years old, that's like 5-6 years old. You can buy those for actually fairly affordable prices. But if anything goes wrong, and like the oil changes on those things are like $2,500. So it's like you can buy one of those, but you better be prepared.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, you can't.
Like, you just got to be like, you got to have FU money.
Yes, it is FU money.
It's just a toy.
Yeah. Well, in this case,
I ain't here for that.
Marcus has FU money to buy a $300,000 Lambo, and he keeps, he likes the boozy and he likes the baggie full of cocaine.
It's my Midwest sensibilities.
Well, they balance each other out.
I think I could see you getting really rich and buying fancy cars. I could see that.
Like a Lamborghini?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. If you got really rich?
No.
You wouldn't?
Zero chance.
What would you buy if you got super, like,
classic cars.
FU money.
Classic cars.
Oh, you're a classic car.
Yes. I would have a classic car.
Mm, I read you wrong.
Yeah.
After all these years.
Yeah. Like, I would have an old Mustang or like an old Corvette if I could fit into it.
I had you in a bright yellow.
I find those things to be the absolute biggest pieces of trash.
Maybe a Mazda Miata.
That's Schultzy.
You see, like, I just think those cars look like crap. I am not a fan of those. But like, if you could, like, some of like those old, the new ones now, when you go down to these things, like, people are rebuilding the old Broncos and K5 Blazers and they're selling for like $400,000 or $500,000, and they're amazing. If I had FU money, I'd be rolling around in that. I'd be rolling around in like a international harvester, or an old SUV like that that was redone.
You know, at the Wynn, I just got back from Vegas. You know, they have a McLaren store in there.
Do they?
You can buy a McLaren.
Yeah, $500,000 or whatever it is.
Well, I didn't go in there.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Bugattis are like that. You know, I just think those things are stupid. Those things are terrible. But like, look at like those old international scouts, or they got like those old Land Cruisers, like the old ones that like David Attenborough drove around in. Those things are badass.
All right. I've just been informed that we are a break behind.
Oh.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's why I kept saying gotta go.
Oh, were you saying that over there?
I was.
Nice. Look at Buck doing his job. Mm. Well, it didn't work.
Not well.
We were talking, you know.
I always said that about Swag. Swag would be like, go! And we wouldn't go.
Yeah.
And then he'd be like, you guys never go. I'm like, well, how about you switch up your tactics?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think you guys would be so pissed if I just killed your mics.
By the way, you should have seen the lady that Jordan got caught with.
Is she a hottie?
Good Lord.
I bet the IG pool is nice to Marcus Jordan.
Ooh. Wow.
Jeez.
That's not Larsa Pippen.
That's not Larsa Pippen.
All right, we got a break. Isaac and Souk, those are our names. We're doing sports on The Fan. All right, well, now we have to go. I don't know what to do.
I'm busy looking at Marcus Jordan's Instagram. It's good to be Marcus Jordan.
Well, yeah.
Care to share a name? Who's this lovely lady?
Oh, I don't know.
What's her name, Sue? So other people can look her up.
Oh, I don't know. Oh. I'd have to. I'm not gonna lie. I was paying no attention to her name.
Well, how did you find her?
Well, there's a photo. Like when you the TMZ is all over this.
I thought you like found many photos of said.
Yeah,
woman.
If you go to his Instagram page, dude, there's all kinds of stuff on here. His Instagram page is AirMJ, by the way.
What a fraud.
Well, I think he likes having people know that he is Michael Jordan's son. Which, I mean, I can appreciate the fact that being Michael Jordan's kid is probably, like, you can view that two ways, right? I'm always in my dad's shadow. I don't have anything on my own. Or you just lean into it, and your entire business is selling your dad's crap, and you tell everyone that you're his son, and you drive around a Lamborghini with, like, Instagram hots. And I appreciate that Marcus Jordan has kind of leaned into it.
So when he dated Larsa Pippen,
yeah.
Scottie's ex. By the way, I saw him the other night. He was sitting courtside at a college game.
Mm-hmm.
He looks old as hell.
He's in rough shape.
Yes.
Scottie Pippen?
Yes.
Well, he's got a lot of bitterness and anger, which...
he looks old,
it
man.
It doesn't age well.
So his ex, Larsa, dated Marcus.
Yes.
And she said she used to change his diapers.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah, she said, like, back in the day when Scottie and Michael played together.
Yeah.
Yeah, that she...
She would change my Marcus's diapers. And then
she stupid him.
And then they did it. That's together.
That's weird.
Yeah.
That's
that
weird. Well, I mean, it's the ultimate. I mean...
Can I also say this?
Yeah.
To give you more content here in this bonus, Seggy?
Mm-hmm.
Larsa Pippen? Nah. Yeah. I'm going, nah. Yeah.
Ashley Stevenson, by the way, is the... one of the Marcus Jordan hots that's out there. And you're poo-pooing Larsa Pippen, huh? Yeah.
I give her a meh.
Well.
I'm sure she's wonderful. Or maybe not. I don't know.
Mm-mm. I find now that Ashley Stevenson is an influencer.
Of course she is.
Like me.
Stunned by that profession.
I can't see. I can't justify giving Larsa Pippen the meh. Now, I can get that she's a little... A little plasticky and cougary and all that, but she deserves.
She does seem kind of old.
She does. She's better than.
Hey, listen,
man.
It's all in the eye of the beholder.
Yes,
and I give her a meh.
I can't in good conscience.
Well, that's fine.
Meh.
I can tell you that this girl you just mentioned, the Stevenson girl,
Ashley Stevenson,
is a younger version of Larsa Pippen.
Yes,
she looks just like her. She's just younger.
Well, can we talk about this? And maybe this is for the club, but how do I? How do I best put this?
Oh, I love these.
What? Why do all...
Uh-oh.
Yes.
Yes.
What's a better word for a professional girlfriend?
What do you mean? Look, I don't know what you're... I don't Larsa know what you're,
Pippen...
Spit it out.
Larsa Pippen makes a living off of sleeping with wealthy men.
Okay.
Ashley Stevenson makes a living off of sleeping with wealthy men. But they're not...
Oh, you're saying they're hookers.
But they're not.
You're calling them hookers.
They're not.
Live on the radio.
They're not.
Wow.
They're not.
Without, like indirect, without it being their profession, it's still what they do.
It is their profession.
Yeah. Well,
if you ask what they do, they sleep with hot men.
Influencer. That's what they do.
They sleep with hot men.
I think I have the answer to this.
What?
You're asking what's the difference?
Yeah, what?
Where is the line?
What do I call them?
Oh, well, I don't think you can call them hookers.
No, because they're not. I don't want to call them that.
That's exactly
right. Which is why I was kind of stuck in what do I address them?
You know, I'll let you come up with the word.
Yeah.
By the way, TGL Tuesday, getting ready to go.
Because if you look at their boyfriends, every one of them is it's the same. It's just.
I mean, Gold Digger comes to mind.
Yeah, there you go.
But. Well, it kind of is. Yeah, that's kind of what they are. They're just Gold Diggers.
Let's go with that, right? They're professional diggers.
The line of demarcation is that. If someone won't sleep with them for whatever reason, they don't just take money.
No.
For sex.
They just move on to the next one.
They just move on to the next one. That's right. So you can't call them.
No, you can't call them hookers. Yeah. Why do they all, and this is again, going back to, we were going down to Arizona, we were Barrett Jackson, like all these rich dudes are down there and they're all with.
And you.
And me. And they're all with the exact same woman.
What?
They all look exactly the same.
That's the plastic surgery, right?
Yeah, there's something weird, though. Like, when you become, like, when you want to get into that field, like, you just, you naturally start to morph into that person. If you see one of them, you've seen them all. Like, when you look at Larsa Pippen, you're like, you look exactly like I think you would look. And then you, when you look at that Ashley Stevenson, you're like, it's the same person. It is. It's just 15 years younger. And when she gets older, she'll look exactly like Larsa Pippen. And so there's only one model. It's like when you go to like a, when you go to a neighborhood and they only have one floor plan, it's like they're like row homes and they're all built exactly the same.
You're touching on something that could be worth exploring. And that is, are there ways to signal that you're a gold digger?
Yes, I think there is.
There's a look.
I think it's that look.
And I know what you mean, like the big lip filler and the giant
and
up tops.
And the face gets pulled back and they all dress the same and they look the same and they move the same. Hmm. My working theory down in Arizona was that there was only like 12 of them. They just move around really fast. It's like a flash sort of blur. You're like, wait.
Hey, time is money.
I just saw you with that guy over there. And you're like, nah, that's just another one that looks exactly like me.
All right, well, that's bonus content. We'll continue. You know, that's it's interesting. I'm not in that world, so I don't really know.
They're there.
Well, I know, but I'm just saying, like, do they have a signal? Like, is the signal, if you do this with your face and this with your tatas and, you know, you...
Yeah.
Then you're one of... That way you don't even have to say anything.
Yeah, you're just there. And you know,
it's like a name tag.
And once you're in that world, you just go from one rich guy to another rich guy to another. Like, you just
It's understood.
It's understood.
Yeah, it's great. All right, Club 1080 is next on The Fan.